So between Luke and I, we have spent the last month or so going through some life events you could classify as traditions. Now, I won't lie and say that these processes didn't make me think of what it would be like if we were part of another culture. Let's check it out. Okay, so we're back. Kind of. As you may have noticed, last Monday wasn't very, you know, topic-y. Due to some recent events, we weren't able to get anything out. I was getting married, and Luke was changing dirty diapers. But we're back for you, even if it's in a small way. All of the planning and organizing that goes into your classic wedding is a stressful event. There's no easy way around it. And no matter what, there will always be something small that doesn't make the process smooth. Us as South Africans always joke that an easy wedding includes a bring and bri and an open bar. But tradition seems to get in the way, and the idea always seems to evolve back to the traditional way. This had me thinking, we complain about traditions, and how bad do we truly have it? Well, I can honestly say, we get off easy. How easy, you ask? Well, for starters, at least we aren't firing arrows at our bride the day before the wedding. Yeah, that's a thing. So in China, the Yugao people have a strange way of showing their commitment to each other. In a 48-hour-long sequence of events, the ceremony starts by the family of the bride rocking up to the groom's house, where they proceed to tear down the bridal suite that was erected for their wedding night. It is then up to the groom and his family to protect the fort from the bride's family to show his ability to defend what he owns and protect his future wife. The next day, in a strange, weird reverse Cupid situation, the groom is required to shoot his bride with 3 arrows during the public ceremony. The arrows are obviously non-lethal and without a tip, so they kind of fall to the ground where the groom must pick them up and break them in half. This symbolizes some sort of bravery and is meant to seal their matrimonial bond and break any possible future causes of separation. In some neighboring cultures, the arrows thankfully aren't shot towards the bride, but actually shot towards the sky, and then when they fall down are broken. This is also to symbolize the kind of bravery of the husband trying to scare off any strange demons. I don't know. It's weird, and I'm glad we don't have to shoot arrows at each other. Now, arrows aside, we can thank our lucky stars that, well, we don't care about our stars. In India, there is a common belief that if you are born during a specific star alignment, you are classified as a Manglik. According to Indian belief, a person who is Manglik is cursed and will significantly affect the longevity of their spouse's life. This is fixed by marrying a non-human object to neutralize the curse. That non-human object is almost always a tree. No lies, the Manglik marry a tree. Once they have married, they then chop the tree down to clear the curse. Trees are believed to have the ability to retain the curse, and cutting them down will mean the man or woman is free to marry again. This is most always on the woman's side, and men generally skip this part of it. But for a man who wants to marry a woman who is recently widowed, they would have to go through a similar procedure. So imagine you have your eyes on someone who has recently lost their spouse. Well, you too would need to be previously widowed in order for that to work. You know, one widower to another. Yeah, you guessed it. The dude's marrying a tree. Nothing like lighting a fire with your ex, tree. Yeah, we're burning trees here. This really does make my wedding seem far less dangerous to, you know, my wife and the trees. So we really do have it easy. Now, as I said earlier, another tradition that has fallen into our hands is Luke and, you know, his young ones. Luke, you love?
Hey, everybody. It's me, Luke. Did you forget about me? I hope not, but it's felt like a very long time. It sure has been a while, but, well, I suppose maybe just a week for you guys. But it's been about a month since I last sat down in front of this microphone. And coincidentally, about a month since I last had more than 2 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Am I dying inside? The answer is yes. Is there any sign of life going back to the way things were? No, not really. It's tough out there. But anyway, just to keep you guys a bit up to speed on some housekeeping of the podcast, if Brett didn't mention it already, because we are still recording separately. I have welcomed two beautiful children into this world, which has proved to be entirely more taxing on my schedule than planned. With our jobs, the twins, B-Dog getting married, it's been a bit tough to stick to any kind of time frame with our recordings. But never fear though, we will still be trying our utmost best to keep you entertained on your morning drive to work or whatever you do when you're listening to us. In keeping up with the subject though, today I have a quick topic for you guys about some of the more unique traditions that some cultures have around childbirth. So, for Western civilization, it's pretty simple. You give birth at a hospital, you go home, some family visits, and that's pretty much it. Depending on your religion though, maybe the kids get christened at a later stage or whatever it might be. But that's all there really is to it. There's not really any other sort of ritual that we do, at least not in my immediate family and, I guess, culture. So let's look at what some other cultures do. Starting with Togo, which is a country in West Africa. Now there's a tradition whereby during pregnancy, the Togolese mothers are told to be as quiet as possible during the pregnancy. This is because it's believed that screams and loud noises may attract unwanted attention from evil spirits, seeking to cause misfortune during labor. To the Togolese people, witchcraft is very heavily intertwined into their society, and pregnant women are at a much higher risk to being exposed to sorcery. In fact, pregnant women are even advised to not expose their belly buttons, as this is seen as being a direct line to the unborn child. They're also advised to not hang around entranceways like doors or windows, as it's easier for evil spirits to get to them. Now, that's quite a unique set of rules, that's for sure. It must be noted though that this is seen as an old superstition of the previous generations. This is according to the younger people of the area who practice a much more modern culture. They do stick to a lot of the old traditions still, but a lot of the spiritual and witchcraft side of it is a bit phasing out. Another good one is the traditions in Pakistan. So in Pakistan, specifically for those that follow the Islam religion, cleanliness is of utmost importance. For this reason, right after birth, the child is bathed and the placenta is buried. I believe that the burial of the placenta is quite common in a lot of cultures though. In fact, this happens even in our own South African cultures. Next is the first haircut, which is to be done 7 days after the baby's birth, with the purpose of being cleansed and ready to become a Muslim. So that's some cool but kind of low-key stuff. But there is a group of people in Pakistan called the Kalash people, whose population is only in the thousands. They are one of the smallest groups in Pakistan and are very isolated from the rest. They have their own set of traditions, some of which may seem a bit, let's say, old school to us, but they have their ways and we must respect that. For the Kalasha people, pregnant and menstruating women are sent away to stay in a building far away from the rest of the community. This building is called a bashaleni, and it's kind of like a dormitory. They are only welcomed back into the community after childbirth. The menstruating women are the only ones allowed to go and tend to the pregnant woman. Now, modern interpretations of this culture call it sexist, as the women are allegedly seen as being unclean and therefore need to stay away. However, according to the Kalasha people, this is not the case. Apparently for them, the women do the majority of their everyday work and duties, so it's seen as rather them getting a break from their chores and daily lives. Take that for what you will. Now next, let's look at the Comanche tribe, which is a Native American tribe. I'm not sure if all of this is done anymore, but traditionally, they had a unique set of birth rituals. For starters, men were not allowed anywhere near the birth. Side note, maybe that's a blessing, but I'll say no more. Now, births were either done alone or with a single midwife on occasion. The births were not allowed to be done lying down, but instead, the mother had to either be standing, sitting, or kneeling. The baby would then fall out onto a soft pile of leaves. A female relative of the mother was also tasked with whispering things into the mother's ear in an attempt to scare the baby out. It's also reported that sometimes pregnant women would squat over hot stones to help alleviate the pains of labor and hopefully, let's say, stretch places that need to be stretched. So yeah, that's enough of that for now. It sort of makes our modern way of childbirth seem a bit boring, doesn't it? I can't say I'm not glad that it is the way it is, personally, anyway. I don't think that prolonging that process is something I particularly want. It's stressful enough as it is. So I must make some special mentions to places that also have kind of unique traditions, not as hectic as the Toga people, or the Kalashi people, or the Comanche tribe, but they are unique in their own way. So in Japan, it's believed that women shouldn't actually have any pain medication, no epidural, nothing, in order to prepare them for the difficulties of motherhood. I don't think every Japanese woman does this, but there is a high percentage of the population that turns down pain medication. And another unique one, which came to me because we had great difficulty picking the names of our children and spelling the names of our children, so this was interesting. In Germany, there are very strict laws on how you can name your child, or children, if you have twins, like me, please help me, SOS. I'm not joking, send help. So no weird names like Apple are allowed. The rules are plenty, but some of the more notable ones are there are no names of objects or products permitted. And names that are typically used as a surname or a last name are not allowed to be used as a first name. Also, the name may not lead to humiliation of the child down the line. Funnily enough, I also read that there aren't any gender-neutral names allowed. So there are specific names for girls and specific names for boys, and that's that. Also, side note, certain names are completely banned, one of which I'm sure you can imagine. Think World War II. Anyway, that's all from me in terms of the topic. I hope you learned something new. And before I head off to deal with my own children, I'll just express another thank you for dealing with us during this time. Like I said, I'm trying our best. We're getting into a bit of a schedule here, and it's only going to get a bit better in terms of timing. I am actually back at my main job now, so life is getting back to normal. So sometime soon, Brett and I will be in the same room again, at the same odd topic table, discussing about some more really cool topics. Although I'm not going to lie, these short stories are pretty fun. They're quick and to the point, but I'm enjoying them. I'm learning a lot of interesting information.
These short episodes are fun. They're short, to the point, and agreed. Nice little tidbits of information to get your day started. So that's it from us this week, guys. If you want to get a hold of us, you can check us out on any of the social media platforms at Odd Topic Podcast. You can check us out on our website as well, oddtopicpodcast.com. And if you want to send us an email, for whatever reason, community@oddtopicpodcast.com. But yeah, we'll see you guys again next week for probably another little short episode. So until then,
stay fresh,
stay freaky.
Bye.